Like the bells that we heard last week in worship, the bells of church steeples and towers have always called people to prayer and to worship. That just hearing them off in the distance, people would stop what they were doing in order to come and gather. Ironically, nowadays, our hours are filled with constant bells, rings, and alarms, calling us to business, answering the phone, checking a notification, responding to a message, seeing what email we have. But the bells of the church have always called us away from such things to remember the very foundation of our lives and the joy that we find in the steadfast love of God. As we light the candle of joy this morning, with its bright pink color amongst the Advent wreath full of purple, it might call us away from such things, to reclaim the joy that we find in the love and grace of God. As William Sloane Coffin writes, "Why are Christians so often so joyless? I think it's because they have only enough religion to make them miserable. Guilt they know, but not forgiveness." That Advent beckons us away from everything else that's right there in front of us to remember the grace of God that comes to be with us wherever we are. Now, we don't find much help with John the Baptist, or so it seems. John was no rosy optimist. He was rarely the most positive person in the room. There was always an edge to his words. John would have had a tough time getting a job writing Christmas cards at Hallmark. I can just imagine on the front of the card, "Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to," and you open it up, "you brood of vipers." That John embodies the discontent of Advent. That he looks around the world and he sees the needs at hand, which of course is the reason the love of God comes to us at Christmas. So when people gather around to be baptized by John, he says, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. And whoever has food must do likewise." And then to the tax collectors, he says, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed." And to the soldiers, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation." That John was fervently dedicated to taking care of the needs of others, where people are treated fairly and with respect and dignity and with compassion. All of which meant John was never satisfied with the status quo, but none of which means that John didn't understand the importance of joy. That perhaps we could all share stories about the deepest joy that we have experienced in our own lives. And it's those moments where we have either given those things away, kindness, generosity, compassion, respect, dignity, or we have received those things from others. The joy is most obvious, indistinguishable from everything else when one person is caring for another, not out of guilt, but as an extension of the grace of God. When we think of the joy at Christmas, perhaps we go up to the attic and bring down this box of Christmas books. Books that were read to us as a child or that we read to our children, our nieces, our nephews. We have read them countless times. We could almost quote the words on every page. We've bought them time and time again to give them to others. And now we read them to our grandchildren or great nieces and nephews. And every time we turn the pages of those books, it fills us with joy. Books like The Joy of Giving with the Berenstain Bears, or How the Grinch Stole Christmas, The Polar Express, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever, The Night Before Christmas, and the list just keeps going. Well, one book that we might add to that list is Peter Spire's Christmas. It's beautifully illustrated with all of these ideal moments that we picture around this time of year. The family standing out front, hanging the wreath on the front door. Or just inside the window, everyone decorating the tree, stringing the popcorn and putting it up. Or building the snowman out front, wrapping the scarf around it. Or climbing up the ladder to tie a big red bow on the streetlight at the curb. Or just sitting down around the table for Christmas dinner. He paints pictures of that idyllic joy we find at Christmas. The problem is, reality doesn't always match those picture-perfect moments. In his book, on Christmas morning, even the dog and the cat have a big red bow around its collar. But we spent 2 hours in the storage room trying to find that wreath that goes on the front door. And the Christmas tree just leans slightly enough to the left to where we're afraid it's going to fall over. And no one said it out loud, but the turkey was a little overcooked. Interestingly, Peter Spire never experienced those picture-perfect moments growing up at Christmas. He was born in 1927 in Amsterdam to a Jewish family. His father, Joe Spears, was a talented illustrator for the local newspaper. That is, until he lost his job because Germany occupied the Netherlands in 1940. Eventually, his father was arrested for drawing a satirical illustration of Hitler. And when Peter Spire was 16, his family was deported to a concentration camp in Czechoslovakia. His family narrowly survived this tragic experience because 90% of the prisoners at this concentration camp did not survive. But his family returned to Amsterdam in 1945. Spire never spoke publicly of his experience during the war, but it does make us wonder, how can someone who experienced so much pain paint with so much beauty, where everything seems picture perfect? Some might say it's because it's a children's book. You can't include the harshness of this world, but perhaps it's something more. That despite the pain, joy is rather resilient. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, by letting your gentleness be known to others. that we are to respond to the harshness of this world with the gentleness of Christ. By giving away one coat when we have two. By protecting others from being taken advantage of. By treating everyone with fairness and compassion. That is the joy of Christ. Ken Parker, about a year ago, the end of the summer in 2017, traveled to Charlottesville, Virginia. He was going to the Unite the Right rally. He was a former Grand Dragon of the KKK, but he had joined a Nazi group because he felt like the KKK did not go far enough. He went to stand up for white supremacy and with hopes of starting a race war. In the last year, he has changed. He met a neighbor by the name of William McKinnon III, who's the pastor of the All Saints Holiness Church in Jacksonville, Florida. McKinnon is African American, but despite Parker's horrific views, McKinnon treated him with gentleness, kindness, and compassion. And over time, he dismantled Parker's worldview. And a year later, in August of this year, McKinnon baptized Parker as a member of his mostly black congregation. That is the joy of Christ, that we have witnessed the harshness of this world. We see the pain and brokenness that is around us. Joy does not pretend as if those things do not exist, but joy remains undeterred. That the Bible never says it explicitly. But I tend to imagine Jesus and the disciples traveling around the region of Galilee during Jesus' ministry. And there were nights where people would provide them with a place to stay, but not always. I imagine them sometimes just making camp at the bottom of the hillside. Someone wandering around for 45 minutes, picking up a little bit of firewood. Someone else getting the fire going and cooking a little bit of food. And the only distraction they had were the stars in the sky. So they just sat around the fire into the late hours of the night and talked. They just talked about everything they saw that day, everything that we read about in the stories of the Gospels. They talked about the people that they saw who were sick, who were hurting, who were hopeless, who were hungry, who were ignored. But I imagine there were also other moments where stories were told and life was shared. And as much pain as there is in life, it is also quite beautiful. I can even imagine Jesus laughing with the disciples, enjoying the fellowship, taking solace in the friendship, and savoring the joy that we find in this world. That as we draw near to God, God always draws near to us. As we wait for the birth of Jesus, let us reclaim yet again the joy that we find in Christ. Amen.